I did mention last week, and I mentioned by not doing due diligence in what I should have done. I did say something I should have said because I didn't have it confirmed. So forgive me for that. But mentioned that in the Penfield school system that there was litter boxes for those that were identifying as animals. That was not confirmed. I checked, and it was a lot of say-so, but nobody could really say for sure. So forgive me for that. But there are kids in that school, and keep praying for them. There are they are identifying as animals. There's still a great need for prayer and all of that, but forgive me for putting out something that wasn't supposed to be put out. So pray for me that I get these things confirmed before I open my mouth. Sometimes my mouth opens before my brain is there. So
there's quite a drama there, though. You won't go into it now.
There's a whole lot of stuff going on. So, yeah. And not just that school system, but a lot of school systems. So, so there we go. Ezra chapter 4. As 18 people get up and walk out, it just we'll still do Ezra anyway. So, in chapter 4, and there's controversy in this chapter too, so we're just full of controversy today. So it says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel. Remember, he's the governor, he's the overseer that's there. And to the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. So what they're talking about is the Samaritans that were there in the area, but there's issues that go on with that. And it says in verse 3, but Zerubbabel, and Jeshua, then the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But notice it's our God, not your God, our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. So in this place, we realize that there's some issues going on, that there's some separation that's there, and we really don't understand all of it. But then we come to this place of realizing, and hold your place here, go back to 2 Kings chapter 17, and we'll see what has happened, because there's some people in the land. There's some people in the land, and there's some things that are going on here. But remember, the captivity has been taken out. And when the land was there and it was fairly empty, besides just those who were disabled or those who were so poor that Babylon left in the land, that they sent people up to inhabit the land. They weren't Jews, but they were from other places of captivity, and they were in a place where they just were sent back to the land. And they took over the land. So in 2 Kings chapter 17, it says this, starting in verse 24. It says, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cuthath and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelled in the cities thereof. So the king has sent people to dwell in the land. They're not Jews. And what the Jews would end up calling them would be Samaritans or half-breeds, because they married into with the people of Israel that were left over there. But they weren't really Jews. They didn't really follow those things. And so they're coming into this place now, and they want to enter in with Ezra and the others that are there to build the temple unto God. They were following a different God. They had the language. They had some of the worship that was there, but they didn't really worship the true and the living God. They worshiped their own gods. But now they wanted the benefit of knowing God. They saw that King Cyrus had sent the Jews back. They knew that there was a blessing on them, that there was favor. They had some riches that they brought back with them. Remember, Cyrus sent them back with all the utensils and everything else and with money and told them to build the temple that was there. And so they wanted to come and enter in. But they weren't really believers. They weren't really the ones that were following after the things of the Lord. They just wanted the benefit of God's blessing that was upon the people that were there. We have a lot of people in the world that want that. We're in America, so we call ourselves Christians. You're not a Christian unless you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Just because you live in America doesn't make you a Christian. Keith Green, a singer from years ago, used to say, if you're in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. If you're in America, it doesn't make you a Christian. Only a relationship can make you a Christian. And that's where it has to be. And not all of America is Christian. Just because you live here doesn't make you a Christian. And we're far, I hate to say it, we're far from being a Christian nation. This nation needs Jesus. Keep praying for the people in this world, for the people in this city, for the people in your own household, that they wouldn't just know about Jesus, they would know Jesus. And there's a difference from knowing about him and knowing him. If you know him, you're going to walk with him and you're going to look like him. And boy, that puts an onus on us, doesn't it? That we need to walk in that right way. Last night at service at church, we hit five different places that talked about walking with the Lord. And we walk in wisdom, we walk in love, we walk in the light, we walk in truth, we walk with Jesus. But all those things are places where we as Christians should be. If we're truly a Christian, we should be in those places. And if you want to do a good word search, get your concordance, open it up, look for walk, and then see where you're supposed to be walking and what you're supposed to look like. Because we need to have it. Because there's a lot of people who say there's Christians, but they're not walking. They're Christians on Sunday morning because they go to church. But we need to be Christians who walk like Jesus. And so in 2 Kings here, it says then in verse 25, and so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. They didn't fear the Lord, but they wanted the blessing from the Lord. What a difference. And so therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. They didn't fear the Lord. They were in that place, but they didn't fear the Lord. But here they are in that place of wanting the things of the Lord. And what does the Lord do? He knows where their hearts are. And so he sends lions among them to devour them. And we know that we have an enemy of our soul who roams about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whoa. Just a representation of what the Lord is sending to them is what is coming around with those who don't know Jesus but want the benefits of knowing Jesus. He says, wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of God of the land. Therefore he sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. And again, this is a characteristic of people who don't know the Lord but want to dwell with him, want to be in that place of blessing from him. They don't know what God looks like. They don't know his characteristics. They don't know how to worship. And so then the king of Assyria commanded and said, carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach the manner of the God of the land. So then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and he taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses the high places of the Samaritans had made, every nation in the cities wherein they dwelt. So they wanted to know about God, so they come and they start teaching them about God, but what do? They start idol worship. Well, we'll just make this God as one of the idols that we worship. And folks, there's a lot of people who are in churches who worship not only Jesus, but they worship their money, they worship their ease, they worship their own desires, but they want God to be among them, so they worship him too. Oh, not everybody who's in church is a Christian. And you can't look at everybody who goes to church as a Christian. What you need to see is to discern the fruit in their lives. We can't judge where they are as far as having a relationship with Jesus, but we can see the fruit of their lives, whether they're really walking with the Lord or not. God's the only one that can judge the heart. We can't judge the heart. But what we can do is discern the fruit that's there and to see if there's fruit that looks like Jesus in their lives. But these people, they just wanted to know about God so that they could get the blessing of it. Ugh. It's a sad place, and yet there's people that do that. And so be careful of yourself that you don't enter into those places. Certainly, we don't want to walk around looking at everybody going, aha, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking some bad thoughts right now. I saw you. So you're not really a Christian. We aren't here to be church police. We're here to be church encouragers and to encourage the people that are there to walk in the right way. And that's what we want to do. And even if somebody comes in and you know that they really don't look like a Christian, encourage them. This is the life that God wants for you. He wants a life that's free from sin. He wants a life where you can be free from having to sin. He's got a life for you that's far above anything that you could work up on your own. And we want to encourage people that come in to do that. Doesn't mean they'll stay, but hey, God knows, and he knows how to reach them. Who knows what's going to happen to them days or years or months later? Only God knows. But we're here to be faithful, to represent Jesus to those that are around us, no matter if they're in church or if they're in the grocery store. We still represent Jesus whether we're here or whether we're in a grocery store. Just because you walk into a grocery store doesn't mean you have to look like Danny Wigman. And I hope you don't. It's probably not good for you. but we get to represent our God and to have the picture of who he is in our lives so that people that see us see a picture of Jesus. Oh, that's hard, isn't it, sometimes? When the person in front of you, and you get in the shortest line, and you go, oh yeah, I can get in and out, and I'm going to go home, and they pull out 47 coupons, and they start arguing with the cashier over the price of this item. They say, it's 5 cents less, you got to charge me less. And all of a sudden, the shortest line that you're in has now become the longest, because everybody else that was in the long line are already gone, and you're still standing there. And then they pull out a check. How do you write a check? And your heart starts showing, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Lord, help me to be faithful no matter what happens. Help me to be faithful just to love you. Oh. So he goes on in verse 30 then. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth. The men of Cuth made Negro. And the men of Hamath made Ashima. And they took Avites and made them Nisba and Tartak, these cities that they would make. And it says in verse 32, so they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests. It says they feared the Lord. They had an acknowledgement of the Lord, but don't mistake that fearing of the Lord is a place where they've become Christians now. They just want to have reverence so that they can get the blessing from the Lord. We fear the Lord, not in a sense that we tremble and quake like the Quakers used to do. When the presence of the Lord would come, they'd sit there and start quaking while they were in church. We don't want to do that. This is really a meaning of having a reverence for and having putting him in a position that he deserves to have. He is God Almighty. He is holy. And so therefore we fear him in the sense that we have a reverence for him. But we don't have to fear him in the sense that we quake before him. It says they feared the Lord and they served their own gods in verse 33. What a difference. They feared the Lord, but they served their own gods. It doesn't go together, does it? But you see, that's where people who don't know the true and the living God end up going, is that they're in that place then of wanting the blessing from the Lord, but not walking in the truth of who God is. And so it says they served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from them. And unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or ordinances or the law or the commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel, whom he had named Israel. So they're in the land, but they're not really people of the land. And they're still there in this land when Ezra comes back. And so they come up to him and they say, we want to build this temple alongside of you. We want part of it because we want part of the blessing. And the leaders, God bless them, they had some wisdom, they had some understanding to say, no, you can't. You know how hard it is to say to somebody who says, I want to be part of where you are, and you have to say, you can't. Because you don't believe the same that we do. Ooh, that's hard. What are you, intolerant? And what's the big word in America these days? You got to be tolerant. No, we don't. We have to be separated from the things of the world, and not separated to the point where we're hermits going around in white sheets and just hanging out on a mountain somewhere waiting for the Lord to come back. We're in this world, but we don't have to be part of it. And we don't have to become part of what the world is doing. Because we don't want to be part of what the world is doing. Because what is the world doing right now? They're making our kids figure out who they are. Well, you're really not who you say you are. You're not a girl. You're a boy. Because you like guns more than you like dollies. So you must be a boy instead of a girl. What have we done to our kids? We're driving them crazy. There was a thing that came out the other day, and I can't remember where it was from, and here I go again. I can't remember where it came from, but they were talking about it. It was on one of the things that I was going through, that a lady had a three-year-old son, and she was having him go through all the surgeries and everything else to change him to a girl at 3 years old. Three-year-olds don't know what they are. Three-year-olds don't want to even think about that stuff, but the mom did. Awful. Awful stuff that we're putting our kids through. We're driving them crazy. And you know what? We can do the same thing in the church if we don't give them the truth. If we just give them part of the truth, we're doing the same thing. We're going to drive them crazy. Because they won't know what God to worship and where to go. There needs to be a separation somewhere. And these men had the wisdom to understand, you can't build with us because what you're going to do is contaminate it. And it's going to be wrong, and it's not going to be real, and it's not going to be right. If you want to worship, go and worship. But worship the gods that you already have. If that's what you sincerely believe. But in the end, you're going to find out that you're worshiping the wrong one. Oh, and that's a scary thing. And we say, boy, we need some tolerance. So, well, the tolerance is that we give them the truth. And if they don't want the truth, they don't have to believe it. And they don't have to walk in those ways. But as for me and my house, we're going after Jesus. And I cannot bring in anything that's going to be not Jesus into my life and into my kids' life, into my wife's life. I don't want to do that. We got to stay pure before the Lord, and we want to stay pure because that's the place of real blessing, isn't it? I mean, you start bringing in stuff from the world, and all of a sudden you got the curse on those things coming into your house, and what are you going to do with it? Whoa. Scary. So back in Ezra here, as we're going through this place, they come up to them and they say, so what's really happening in this chapter is we're going to see some things that are going to come against the people of God when they want to do something right. And folks, you can be guaranteed if you start following after the things of God and you discipline yourself to do it, the enemy is going to be there to knock on your door and say, hey, if you don't let me in, I'm going to do some stuff to you. And the first thing that's going to come is that there's going to be discouragement, that the enemy is going to be right there to come in. And so they're facing discouragement, just like you and I do. We face discouragement sometimes, don't we? They're new in the land. They haven't been there only just a little bit, and they're starting to build the temple of God. And first thing, the enemy's there, and he's trying to bring in something that's going to contaminate it. Oh, Lord, why are you allowing this? He says, because I'm looking at your heart, and I'm showing you what you need to be careful of. I'm showing you warnings and dangers that are going to come into your life, and I want you to be ready for it. If I never told you there was going to be danger, you'd just be walking along thinking everything was wonderful and everybody's wonderful and everything's great, and find yourself standing before the Lord and the Lord says, depart from me because I never knew you. And you won't know how you got there. And so there's warnings in Scripture. And this is one of those warnings, that as soon as you start following after the things of the Lord, guaranteed the enemy's going to be there to bring discouragement and to bring trouble. And we think, well, that isn't what they told me when they got saved. When I got saved, they told me that if I got saved, everything would be wonderful and rosy, and I'd have no more trouble the rest of my life, and I'd be healthy, and I'd have no cancers, I'd have no flu, I'd have no COVID, I've had none of this stuff. What's up with that? Because they're giving you a different gospel than what the true gospel says. You keep walking after the things of the Lord. Ugh. And so they said, you have nothing to do with us, in Ezra chapter 4, verse 3 there. But we ourselves are going to be building the things of the Lord to the God of Israel, just like Cyrus told us we would. And then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. So here comes some more stuff. If you don't bow to those things that come in firsthand, more is going to come. Guaranteed. But you know what? It should excite you. I must be going in the right direction. You know, and it's not real encouraging to know that there's trouble all around you. But if you're going in the right direction, the enemy's coming. So you know you're doing something right. And know that it's not you that's doing it. Is it you that's making yourself holy and righteous? No, it's the Lord that's doing it. But he's doing something in you, and he's with you, and he's not going to leave you or forsake you. Praise the Lord for it. Rejoice in it. And that's hard to do, but that's what the fellowship of believers does, isn't it? We get to encourage each other. Hey, you're going in the right direction. Keep going. And that's what we need sometimes, isn't it? We need people around us to say, hey, you're bearing fruit that I've never seen in your life before. Praise the Lord. And all they can see is trouble and trial. And you're seeing that they're bearing some fruit, encourage them. Don't sit there and say, that dirty, rotten person, they got more fruit in Jesus than I got. I don't like them anymore. Encourage them. Be a blessing to people. Because that's what we're here for, isn't it? We're here to be a blessing for each other. A blessing to the world. We're here to be salt and light. And the Lord says, keep going. But look at the people of the land. Notice the people of the land. He doesn't call them Christians. He doesn't call them believers. He calls them the people of the land. And what are you and I in? We're among the people of the land. Be careful. The warnings are there. Because what are they going to do? They're going to weaken the hands of the people of Judah. They're going to try and weaken them to make them believe you can't do it. Following Jesus, what is wrong with you? Don't you realize what you have to give up? Did you hear that when you first got saved? And you said, I can't go out to the bars with you anymore? What are you, one of them do-gooders? You know, how discouraging is that? You know, you seek to follow the Lord, and the first thing that happens is you're not going out on Friday nights with everybody to the bar, and they say, what are you, one of them born-agains? Well, as a matter of fact, I am. Well, don't you know that they never have any fun? And you go, oh, you mean I'm going to miss out on all the fun if I don't do this? So what do they want you to do? They want you to start making... You can be a Christian and still go out to the bar. Really? Not me. I can't. Because if I go out to the bar, I become part of the bar. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's where I usually ended up, was on the floor, yeah, but... And so then they troubled them in the building. All of a sudden there's trouble in getting the building supplies that they needed. All of a sudden they needed, they're having trouble getting the things that they needed to take care of the building that was there. They run out of food and nobody wants to sell them food. And nobody wants to do this for them and that for them. And boy, oh, the things start coming. And so they hired counselors against them. Not only are they having all these troubles, now they're coming and they're hiring people to come and talk against them and to gossip about them and to tell lies about them. What did they do with Jesus? They told lies about him before they put him on the cross, didn't they? They hired people to come and to tell lies about Jesus. You know what? If people are telling lies about you, you get to rejoice because they lied about Jesus. And if they lied about him and they're lying about you, then you're in good company. Don't get discouraged about it. Don't be frustrated about it, but be encouraged. You're going the right way. And Christians, we got to go in the right way in the days that we're in, because the days are evil. People are lovers of selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, even in the church. But we need to be faithful no matter what, even if you are the only one. And sometimes, folks, you're going to be the only one, and that's okay. Because if God is with you, then you've got more than enough standing with you. I know it's hard to think of that you could be the only one in your family, you could be the only one in the church, you could be the only one in your neighborhood, but if you're standing and Jesus is with you, it's enough. But you've got to trust it, and you've got to walk in the truth of that. Because that's hard, even when the church comes against you and said, you're going the wrong way. And you know what? When COVID hit in the world... shut down the churches, and churches started opening up. Even our own family members started coming up to us. You're going back to church? Don't you know how dangerous that is? You know what was more dangerous? Not being together with believers. That was more dangerous. And I ended up with COVID. I was in ICU. I went through all this stuff, and if I didn't get a trial drug that was there and the church didn't stop and fast and pray, I wouldn't be here. But you know where I would be? I'd have my new body and I wouldn't have to keep going through this stuff. So somebody stopped me from going to heaven here. I don't know. We got to pray for them.